Hallelujah.
Once again, we thank you for the superfluity of your grace that you have bestowed upon us. Indeed, we testify today that we are products of your mercy, products of your grace, and we are what we are because of the grace that you have lavished upon us. Once again, we magnify your name. We glorify you because of your kindness. We draw your attention to this service and we ask that you open the book to us again. As we open our hearts, open the book and plant in us such viable seeds that cannot die. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. All right, so we will make an attempt to establish the coordinates for pursuing intimacy with God. That's the broad subject, but we will need to build and to pick up a few things before we can begin to engage. And this night might not just be enough for us to finish this subject, but we'll start it. Pursuing intimacy with God. Pursuing intimacy with God. First thing I'd like to share with us is that the knowledge of God is personal. The knowledge of God is experiential. The knowledge of God is affectionate. God intends for us to journey with Him in so much that we become affectionate with Him. There is this, your emotions are also drawn into the kind of intimacy that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the scripture says in the book of John chapter 4 that God is spirit. God is spirit. And this is the thing. Only spirit can contact spirit. So the aspect of your being that contacts God is your spirit. Hallelujah. We have said it again and again. You are not a spirit. You have a spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. You have been following, so I've done that teaching here before. Man is spirit, soul, and body. The only being that God created that can operate in the spirit realm legitimately through his spirit, and in the natural realm legitimately through his body. Because God is spirit, God doesn't have legitimacy to operate in the natural realm apart from the agency called man. And that's what makes man a target for demons, devils, and Satan. And in view of the above, the Bible reveals that we wrestle. It didn't say we are about to wrestle. You say, what's happening? Even right now, you are in the wrestling. Now, so it's needful for us to understand how to forge our way on the path of intimacy with God. So turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll begin from chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Stay with me. What I'm doing today is a preliminary to put us on course. The subject of intimacy is a broad course, but we'll just attempt commencing, attempt beginning that subject. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know anything, not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Even though this is not where I'm going, but because we are passing through this route, it's needful for me to draw your attention to a few things. This man is telling us that he made some deliberate decisions. He did not make these decisions because they suggested them to him in Bible school. He made this decision because of the burden that was upon his heart and of the knowledge of his duty and responsibility to the body of Christ. The first decision, deliberate decision that he made was that he decided not to know anything among the brethren save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The subject matter of engagement was not based on gradual improvements, seeking to achieve a better you. The objective was to unveil a premise in the labors of God that holds the hope that is upon the heart of God. And that premise in the labor of God happens to be the work that Jesus performed on the cross. Everything Paul did was designed in an attempt to expose you to the significance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He wanted to ensure that every believer profits maximally from that investment that God has made. So it was not about his dexterity in English language. It was not about his exposure and experience. What his delivery was about was an investment that God made on the cross. And that formed the circumference, that formed the platform of his emphasis. And it was a deliberate decision. As we proceed in the lecture, you come to realize why this man, even though he was a man of many means in terms of educational qualification, experience, and all of that, he decided to limit his scope to that deliberate context because of a responsibility that he felt for the body of Christ. He said, I was determined not to know anything among you. All right, I didn't want to know who among you was a serving minister, who was a member of parliament, so that I could politically arrange the congregation to accommodate those dynamics. He said, I was determined to know nothing. And the only thing that was my preoccupation, my emphasis, was Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the first deliberate decision. Now, you see, you will not make the kind of decision that Apostle Paul made if you don't feel a sense of responsibility for the body of Christ. There are so many things we can make out of pulpit ministry. We can make this platform a place where we bring comedians to entertain people because we are expecting that they should be depressed. So we look for comedians to come play around and we say we had church today. There are so many things we can make the platform become. But his own platform was not for sale. His voice was not for sale. His voice was designed to accomplish a purpose. And the purpose was to bring into vitality all the dynamics that were associated with the gains that God had made by his son being on the cross. That was the first deliberate decision. Are you with me? The second deliberate decision that this man made, are you there? Was that his speech and his preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. You see, he could have used his pulpit as a harbinger for philosophy. It brings you into the depth of learning that he had acquired along the way. But you see, that was not the case with Apostle Paul. He decided that his speech and his preaching will not comprise of the enticing words of the wisdom of man, but his preaching and his speech was going to be summed up and captured in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. And the reason why he chose these two deliberate decisions was so that the faith of the people that he was ministering to will not be anchored on the wisdom of man. That's the danger of pulpit ministry. The danger of pulpit ministry is that somewhere along the line, because you decide not to have a shape in ministry, you just follow trends. It's okay. This is what is raining now. What is raining is, what do they call it? Online prayer. You know what they call online prayer? All right. So, and then I come there and then I pray and say, yes, you are going to break through. You are going to break through. Oh my God. Be careful. The apostles were the ones that attended what we call the apostolic training school that was established by Jesus. And that is the reason for the book of Acts chapter 1. All right? So the operations that you see in the book of Acts chapter 2, beginning from verse 42 downwards, are things that were captured in the training that Jesus gave them about operations. Are you there? Don't worry. We are an apostolic community, and I've told you that our textbook is a book of Acts. So indeed, we are going to, one of the first things we will do when we have our own building is that I will come to Ghana for 1 month. Then we'll start from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, to build the philosophy of the sent people. When a witch is sent from a coven to go attack somebody, because the person is sent, he wants to get employment in your office. He wants to work in your company so the person can be around you. He's sent to you. No matter how fortified you are, because the person carries a sent mentality, the person will see the weaknesses in your arrangement that will afford him or her the opportunity to strike you. The apostles were brought to the point where they operated by a sent mentality. That is the apostolic framework that each and every one of us must carry. And we're hoping that we'll be able to build that as a company when we have our own place. Ooh, the book of, then you will see that what will make us conquer the devil is not because we are strong. It's because God made adequate provision in his eternal economy to fund the project that he wants us to accomplish. Are you there? So at the end of the day, it's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of God. This preacher wanted the faith of the people that listened to him not to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'll stop there. So let me continue my reading. Hallelujah. What are the symptoms that suggest that a man's faith stands in the wisdom of men? Because that position is a product of what we call a doctrinal disease. There are 5 evidences of doctrinal diseases. When you look at someone, you can tell, okay, he's suffering from doctrinal disease. The way, because this activity is proof that his faith is not anchored on the power of God. There are 5 symptoms that can reveal that you are suffering from a doctrinal disease. You were not exposed to the good word of God, but you were in church playing games and dancing. And this man did not want his followers to be a product to manifest ailments that are occasioned by doctrinal diseases, bringing emphasis that is not consistent with the centerpiece of the economy of God. Is on the strength of this that he made what? Deliberate decisions. Meanwhile, that's not my emphasis. We just passed there, so we have to straighten it out so that you will see that Bible business is serious business. Church business, ministry is serious stuff. It's not just to come and shout and say, yes, you are the second born in your family. You are Kofu. You are Kofu. I already know I'm Kofu. I know I'm the second born. The things I don't know are the reason why I'm where I am. Do you understand that? Don't worry. We'll talk about the prophetic ministry. But let me give you something for free. You hold on to it until we treat the subject deeply. What's the difference between a prophet and a diviner? It's obvious that many members of the body of Christ don't know that. What's the difference between a prophet and a diviner? Well, if we get there in this our lecture today, I will show you the difference. But I want to get anyone from the congregation that can help out. What's the difference? Do you think a diviner cannot tell you that you are Kofu? You think a diviner cannot tell you that you are the second born in your family? So what's the difference? The spirit. But we'll not know now. We'll not know which spirit you are. It's not written on your forehead that it's Holy Ghost daughter. Holy Ghost daughter. Is it written on your forehead? The fruit. You will not have time. You will not have. Okay. Maybe you meet the person at a bus stop and the person begins to say, yes, you are the second born in your family. You don't know him, so you don't have time to check whether he's living right or not. I'm coming. Don't worry. No. I will still come there. All right. Let's go on. Verse what? Okay, next verse now. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The Greek word for perfect is mature. It means there are several things that God will not even say until we have the capacity to handle it. We speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there for now. The strategies of Satan and the strategies of God are different. The emphasis of the strategy of God is that he places premium on process and method. You want to prosper? God can make you prosper. Satan can make you prosper. Satan's prosperity does not require process. It requires maybe something. You give Satan something that he's interested in. And then Satan releases prosperity to you. But everything that God does, he places premium on your method of doing it and the process by which it is achieved. So God's approach. You cannot be God's product if you do not pass through God's process. By the time God's process begins to produce God's result, that quick fix you got from Satan will be coming to naught. So Satan's method produces results faster. So that the people that do not desire God, that desire things, will always end up serving Satan. Are you still with me? He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come into naught, but we speak wisdom in a mystery. Now stop there, because you know we are talking about pursuing intimacy with God. The first thing I would need to show us, I need to do an introduction to us into the spiritual things first. Before we talk about pursuing God, we need to talk about spiritual things first. And I'm going to show you why. And I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak wisdom among them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come into naught. But we speak wisdom, this wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the wisdom of God is a mystery. And I'm going to explain what a mystery means. Are you there? Now, a mystery is not something that is uncommon. A mystery is not something that is unusual. A mystery is something that you cannot know. The thing can never occur to you except a spirit reveals it. The thing itself may not be strange. You are not following me. Let me give you an example. You know, while we were doing the Apostolic Empowerment Conference, I gave a testimony about a friend of mine whose auntie's husband died, and they took the auntie in, trying to comfort her, to make her feel okay. But they were committed to a prayer, all right? Prayer in the night. And they noticed that any time the prayer is heated, the woman that they just brought in will be looking for her charger. She will just get busy. That my charger, that is it here? Now, you see, even though the woman provided so many evidences that it's as though the prayer was affecting her, but they couldn't know it until the Holy Spirit revealed it. So it was still a mystery. Even though the thing was around, the thing was manifesting her identity. But it didn't just occur to them until in that same prayer, the Holy Spirit now revealed it, that this woman is a witch. It was a mystery until it was revealed. So something that is a mystery is beyond your reach. You will not even think about it. It wouldn't even occur to you. But it can only occur to you when the Spirit of God provides what? Inspiration. You understand that? Discloses it. Then you can enter into the economy of a mystery. Now, so in Scripture or in the Pauline epistles, you are going to find what is called the oikonomia of the mystery, the economy. The best English word for that is economy. And I'll explain that when we get there. And then we also have the fellowship of the mystery. So I'll explain these terminologies. They are big, but they are not too big if I finish explaining them. You cannot know something that a spirit being decides to disclose. You can't know it naturally, except that spirit being helps you to come into the knowledge of it. So it is a mystery because with your best efforts at research, your eyes have not seen it. Your ears have not heard it, and it has not occurred into your heart. It's beyond the scope of your evaluation because it is held or withheld by a spirit being. So this is what the Bible is saying, that even before you gave your life to Christ, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Before you gave your life to Christ, there were several things that God derived in himself that was intended by God to put you on the advantage in your generation. But those things are held up by God and sealed by his Spirit. Those things are mysteries. So you cannot stumble on those things just because you attended a university, you were in a lecture before a professor, or you stumbled into a library. It is beyond what your heart can conceive naturally, except it is disclosed to you by the Spirit of God. You see, your life is not an accident. It doesn't matter how you were conceived, but it's not an accident. God, the sovereign, had a hand in it. The mistake that people made that you resulted wasn't a mistake. That's what I'm saying. And meanwhile, there is nothing that your destiny has in the days to come that is related to that mistake that they made. If you come into Christ, the next thing you need to do is to find out this hidden wisdom that God put in his laboratory. They are in test tube form. Hidden wisdom that is intended by God to propel your life into maximal productivity. Are you there? So if you don't know the Spirit, that is responsible for disclosing this wisdom, you will live another life apart from the life that God intended. That's the problem. You will live beneath the civilization that this wisdom is supposed to empower you to operate in or operate from. Is that clear? Now, so this is one of the great reasons why we need to pursue intimacy, because the secrets of our lives that have been blessed by God to be the reason for our advancement are hidden in mystery form. And there is only one spirit that is licensed to give us access into what we call the economy of the mystery. Are you there? The economy of the mystery talks about... okay, let's leave it. It's not time. Okay? So there's a mystery of God. I was born a stammerer. My disadvantages were many. Born a stammerer, I could not speak. So where do I stand in the community of people that don't have a speech impediment like myself? Are you following? Yes, my father was well-to-do, but he was so compassionate that he felt he was responsible for every family that was in his village. So he goes to the village and he comes back with somebody that will stay with us. He goes, and then the person doesn't even understand English, but the ones that will be, it was amazing. It was amazing. So he goes to the village, he comes back with another person. So until at some point in our home, we were 27. Not because my dad was a polygamist, but he was a lover of men. So I personally did not have any special treatment from my dad, because he was always solving people's problems, always solving this. They say, okay, there's a problem here that if our village is in court, it's my father, they'll come and meet and say, okay, how are we going to this case now? How are we going? Then he will sit down and give them a lecture on the history of the clan. This is where we come from. This is where the problem started. These are the documents. Are you there? Yes. Now, so the person that would have given me guidance, maybe walked me, he's very intelligent, very, very intelligent. And he was one of the first people that got a scholarship to school in the U.S. He's schooled in Georgia, okay? So his English is impeccable. His writing is like a computer. You want to be like him. Oh, my God. He had the right height. He had the right baritone. He had everything. Handsome man. But he didn't have time for me. The stammerer that was trying to find his feet. And the way life put me, I was already on the disadvantage. And there was no way anything great could come out of me. And people around also figured that, okay, greatness is not, doesn't look like this. All right? But unfortunately for them, I found the economy of the mystery. So a lot in your life depends on your ability to access this mystery. Is that clear? And it doesn't matter how many witches are against you, how many demons have taken up your case, you know, that you come from a long line of witches and feminists in darkness, and you were supposed to inherit the substance of the priesthood, and that's why your life is complicated. There is something called the mystery. And the Bible reveals that even the princes of this world do not know this mystery. It means that, are you there? God fructified this mystery before creation began. And it happens to be that Satan is a created being. So there's an extent to which his wisdom can suffice. And there is a dimension to which he has no knowledge that those dimensions exist. It's on the strength of the things that were hidden before creation began that God has ordained this mystery. Satan does not know it. In fact, the hope of Satan to know this mystery is when Satan sees the mystery operating through your life, then he will need to study your life as a project work in order for him to understand the mystery that you are working with. Now, in that situation, meanwhile, that's what the Bible says. I didn't just say this. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 says that principalities and powers will need to look at us to, in order to update their knowledge of the manifold wisdom of God. So when your life begins to operate according to that mystery, you are ahead of the devil. Satan knows that the only way he can get you to fall is to distract you from the path that that mystery is making available to you. So if the devil can haunt your intimacy with God, he can truncate you from accessing that mystery. The mystery is not just, it's not just like a treasure hunt, and then you just find a gold chest once and for all, and you take and you sell, and you become rich. No. It is a perpetual continuum. It keeps unfolding. It keeps unfolding. And the more you align, the more your life begins to reflect its dynamics, its glory. The Bible says that this mystery, this hidden wisdom, God put it aside, and the reason for which God kept it aside was for your own glory. So God did not keep it from you. God kept it for you. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Say, God did not keep it from you. God kept it for you. So according to the mystery of my own life, God wanted to be glorified by getting his Tamara to preach his gospel. You know, that's not what you would do, but that's what God decided to do. So he conscripted me to be a preacher of the gospel. And I assure you, I did not have what it takes to preach the gospel, because fundamentally I could not speak. So it was still by that mystery that God gave me vocal power. And my vocal power is only potent and 100% available when I'm on the pulpit. You might find me on the ground one of those days where the symptoms of stammering besieges me, and you'll wonder. You see, the reason why it's still a wonder is because it's a mystery that is unfolding. Are you there? So one of our motivations to stay tuned to a life of intimacy with the Holy Spirit is that that is the only guarantee that we can access the economy of the mystery. Are you there? All right, so let's go on. Say, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Then he gives us one of the applications of that mystery. One of the applications of that mystery is that the mystery was used in the crucifixion of Jesus. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that mystery. I hope you know the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. So there was a meeting in the Godhead, and they had already anticipated that man would rebel. You know our Jehovah? He knows the end from the beginning. You just know today. You don't know tomorrow. Jehovah is already in tomorrow. It's fixed tomorrow. He has aligned everything. You see, when you deal with God, just first of all, appreciate this fact. He knows too much. It will help you the way you deal with him. The only thing he will see in your heart that he will fall in love with you is called sincerity. Because you can't play smart with him. Okay, this you know, the way it's moving now, we move like this. You will, at the end of the... You see, you don't understand the mystery. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. He knows too much. So be sincere to him and be diligent to serve him with all your heart. And then he will open up to you the mystery. Yeah. And I assure you, everyone in this place today, everyone in this place, God has ordained you to be a great person. But the pathway to your greatness, irrespective of whether you have adequate education or not, what I'm talking about is not dependent on the name of your clan, the opportunities you had or the opportunities you did not have. No, it's not based on anything that is earthly. There is a mystery. There is something that was written about. If you find it, maybe you came out of high school, you came out with a third class degree, and you felt you were not just adequate. If you find this mystery, the people that passed out with first class in your class will look for you for help. It is by this mystery that God intends to put his glory on your life. Okay? So, and the reason why, and that's the reason why God decided to hide it and make it rare, so that none of the princes of this world will understand that mystery. But it's ordained for your glory. It's ordained for you. So if it's called a mystery and it is not at face value, it is not because God was trying to hide it from you. He wanted the rarity so that Satan will not be able to access it. But it is for your own glory. So it's not hidden for you, but it's hidden. Not hidden from you, but it's hidden for you. Is that clear? So this mystery was what was manifested when Jesus was crucified. Satan thought he killed Jesus. But unknown to Satan, what happened was that he set Jesus free. It was a mystery that was at war. In killing Jesus, because there were many things he didn't put into consideration before he killed Jesus. He killed Jesus and admitted him into hell. And according to the book of Psalms 9, it is only the wicked that will be turned into hell. And when Jesus was analyzed, there was no wickedness found in him. Him as a person, there was no wickedness. So why did Satan admit Jesus into hell? Because he was the Lord of the underworld. He admitted Jesus into hell without investigating. And Jesus was there for 3 days of human time. Hallelujah. Unfortunately for Satan, all the time that Jesus was in the underworld, it was reading. And when it was eventually captured in the justice system of heaven, that Jesus was not deserving of hell because him as an individual knew no wickedness. So hell had to release him because the Holy Spirit went into hell and discomfited the enemy because they had a captive that was not qualified to be in captivity. That was the politics behind the release of Jesus from the underworld and his eventual resurrection. Now, Satan thought, okay, I made a mistake. But you see, the implication of his mistake was that Jesus spent time in jail. And that is now spiritual currency. So the logic in salvation is that the moment you believe in Jesus, that time he spent in jail becomes your own time. So it means you don't have time in jail anymore. It was a mystery. It was a mystery that the princes of this world did not know, and that was why they rushed to crucify the Lord of glory. It means that the Bible is full of the miscalculations of the devil. Anytime the devil attempts to fight a mystery, he only ends up pushing the mystery into fulfillment. Because he was not created when that mystery was fructified. So he will find himself assisting the mystery to come to pass in the brightest colors. So there is a mystery that God inscribed in the eternities of old concerning your life. And I tell you something. Only men dwell in the realm of time. So it doesn't matter where you are on the scale of time. When God opens that mystery, you will discover that you miss nothing. So instead of us to talk about the time we wasted, the time that Satan took from us, I think the best thing for us to do tonight is to talk about the mystery. And how to enter into the economy of the mystery so that we can begin to fellowship in the mystery. You get it? All right. So now I told you that in order for us to pursue intimacy, the first thing we need to know is what we call the spiritual thing. What verse are we now? Verse 8. Okay, go to verse 9. But as it is written, you see, it's a mystery, so eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, it has not occurred in the heart of man. Can you underline things? The things. Now, I will need to explain things. So we have things on the line. That's number one. Huh? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. It means God prepared something for you. But eyes have not seen it. It's beyond the reach of eyes, beyond the reach of ears, and it has not occurred into your heart. Never occur. It is a mystery. Are you there? Okay, next verse. But it's prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. That's number two. Underline things. Yeah. The deep things of God. The only one that has the line sense to open up the storehouse of this mystery of things is called the Holy Ghost. I'm just showing you the reason why we need to pursue intimacy with him. Because he's the holder of the key to the storehouse of things. I remember I was in deep worship in one conference in somewhere in northern Nigeria, and we were worshiping and praying. We got lost. The worshiper, meanwhile, you have a great worship ministry, bro. I will not go into details, but guard this ministry. Guard it. You didn't learn it. It was given to you. Just like me, I didn't learn how to teach. The moment I gave my life to Christ, I knew I could teach. So because I knew that I had a very, very strong endowment in the way of teaching, right? So I now took years to study the Bible in order to make the gift more excellent. I studied the Bible for years. Years. Many years. Back and forth. And commentaries and concordances and books and in the cave, just to make it bright, so that I can be in custody of truth in the days where it is scarce, and then will serve men with all integrity and sincerity to God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So this is the difference between a soothsayer and a prophet. A prophet operates by the Spirit of God, so the prophet can access what is called the things of God. It is only the Spirit of God that can access the things of God. For the Bible says, what man knoweth? The things of man save the spirit of man that is in him. Even so knoweth no man the things of God save the spirit of God. So the spirit of God knows the things of God. Your name is not one of the things of God. So someone can pick your name through divination. Are you there? I'm trying to build your ability to judge utterances. The fact that you are second born is not one of the things of God. So someone can pick it with a foul spirit. Don't wonder at revelations, especially if what is disclosed are not the things of God. You see, a soothsayer cannot decode the things of God. You see, now I'm under pressure to leave this message and go to the book of Numbers 22, 23, 24 to show you the man called Balaam. The Bible calls him a soothsayer. Are you there? He was not a prophet. But he said many things about the destiny of Israel. There are many things that are available in the realm of the spirit. And there are many spirits through which you can view the realm. Do you understand that? But only the Spirit of God can give us access to the things of God. Now, if we were in the prophetic school, I would have shown you the things of God, 11 things. that only the Holy Ghost can declare. And it is when someone begins to speak on any of those 11 matters that even you in your spirit, you will know he's saying the truth. Any of those 11 matters, that's when we say, hey, this is a mouthpiece of God. Because the idea of a prophet is a mouthpiece. So the fact that you pick somebody's phone number, the person knows his phone number without your help. And even though he knows his phone number, his crisis has remained. So the knowledge of his phone number was not redemptive in any way. But it only put him on display as someone that has access to some form of knowledge that the other people don't have. That is not the description of a prophet. A prophet has access to the things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, said the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So we are getting closer now. So it's only the spirit of God that can give us access to the things of God. And one of those things of God is that mystery. That mystery that God has ordained for your glory is one of the things of God. You can't go to Satan to get that mystery. Because the Bible says that the princes of this world, they do not know that mystery. And God has ordained that mystery for your glory. Are you there? So in salvation, this is what God did. God commissioned what we call the economy of the mingled spirit. I'll explain that. Forget about my terminologies. Most of them are mine. And I'm making those terminologies based on the understanding I have. And if you know those my terminologies and I explain the understanding, with the terminology you can remember. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse. Is it 6? Right, I'm coming. Give me a moment. Let me get a scripture for us. Sorry. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Okay. Give me a moment. First Corinthians 6, is it 6:11? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I'm coming. 6 what? 17, okay. First Corinthians 6:17. All right. Now, this is what happened. This is what we call the economy of the mingled spirit. Don't forget where we started from. I said the things of God are only known by the spirit of God. The things of man are only known by the human spirit. Is that clear? All right. Then 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, when we became joined to the Lord, we became one spirit with him. So we have the spirit of God. We have your own human spirit. Okay? The day you give your life to Christ, there was a mingling that took place, just like we have Fanta, we have Coke. You mix Fanta, Coke, and then what you have doesn't have an English name. It is one drink. So we have your own spirit, we have the Spirit of God, and then there was a mingling that took place. That's what I call the economy of the mingled spirit. And then it became one spirit. Now listen to me. Experientially, when the Holy Ghost moves inside of your spirit man, experientially, it is exactly as though your spirit is moving. One spirit. Go into your Bible and begin to study from the Pauline epistles, from Romans, study to Revelation. Anytime you see spirit, if you interpret it to mean Holy Spirit, is correct. If you interpret it to mean your human spirit, is correct. Because of this economy, the mingled spirit. When the Holy Ghost moves inside of you, it's as though it's your spirit moving. Because the two have become one. So that you can legitimately have access to the things of God through the Spirit of God. And one of the items of the things of God is what I've been advertising since we started the lecture, is a mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. And that mystery is about your life. It contains the direction that God wants your life to take in order for your life to fulfill His will. It contains the timing. Even though you are taking that direction, there is a timing. God will put you through a process for a certain time so that when that time is accomplished, you can enter into your inheritance. It contains the strategy that God is going to make available to you in a time where things are failing upon the face of the earth. So your own life will be advancing because you are being thrusted forth by the power of a mystery that God sealed in Himself before the foundation of the world. So you can say, when men are being cast down, when there is a casting down in your own life, the experience is different because you are running on a different principle. There is a lifting up for you. Because that mystery existed before the foundation of the world. And the princes of this world, they don't know it. They don't know it. So the first on the list of the things of God is the mystery that is hidden in God before the foundation of the world. If you operate by it, Satan will not be able to track you. The second in the list of the things of God is the counsel of God. The counsel. What is counsel? Counsel is when God uses His wisdom to give you direction out of a certain trouble. Just in case you're in this place tonight and you've noticed there's a trouble in your life and you are looking for a solution for it. The solution to that trouble is to access the counsel of God. The counsel of God. Anyone that is under the sound of my voice right now, if after this lecture today, you start this night in the area of that trouble that is in your life, you start to stand before God this night and to ask Him for counsel. And you do it for 3 nights. You will have counsel. And this one I'm telling you is a prescription by the Spirit. Counsel. Counsel of God. On the 19th day of, was it September 2019, invited to preach in a certain city, came into the hotel, and Jesus came to me and said, I've come to set you free, so that where I am, there also will my servant be. It was a mystery. I said, I prayed on it, and then God gave me insight eventually. The insight came much later. It was insight about my resignation. And I resigned today. 1 year later, my office was scrapped. Now, the reason why I was not caught up in that confusion was because I received what? Counsel. Counsel. So another thing that is part of the things of God is the counsel of God. So in every matter, in every circumstance, in every situation, God has a counsel about it. This counsel did not just evolve, it existed before God created things. It's older than the situation. And when you apply the counsel of God, you will prove that Satan is still behind in technology, because he will not be able to understand the technology that you are adopting. It is superior to what he can handle. The counsel of God. So in the times of trouble, that's when we know the people that are connected to God vitally, because they will have counsel, and counsel will give them a headway in life. So it doesn't matter the situation you find yourself in, if you have access to counsel, you can upturn that situation and use it as a springboard to launch into higher pedestals of glory. Are you there? Then we have the mind of God. The mind. The mind of God. And someone is owing you money, and according to the law, you can do one or two things to the person's life to make him uncomfortable. And then you are in intercession one morning, and then the mind of God becomes available to you. And God is telling you, let it go. And then it doesn't look very masculine, but he says, let it go. And you will not even know why he says, let it go. Because the moment you let that go, you now qualify to enter into something in his grace that is way superior to what he asks you to live. The mind of God. And when you operate by the mind of God, more and more it will be difficult for the devil to manipulate you. Are you there? Oh, you're not there. Do you know what we call curses? Curses operate through decision-making processes. When you find someone that is cursed, the way you know are the decisions the person makes. That negative spirit will be compelling the person to make decisions that will entrap the person, that will tie up the person, that will frustrate the person's life. Are you there? Also, the way you know a man of wisdom is that in the midst of situations that are pressing, terrible, he makes decisions that probably look foolish at the onset. Because that's how wisdom looks when it is being implemented. It looks like foolishness. It looks like weakness. That's how it looks. But over time, you now begin to see that that thing that looked like foolishness was actually the shape of power. See, what I'm talking about is beyond the scope of what human mentality can capture. It must be given to you by the Holy Ghost. I'm just showing you the reason why we need to pursue intimacy with God. I've not entered into the actual matter of intimacy, knowing that God is spirit. There's a way you engage a spirit being. The actual matter, I've not entered there. Our only hope of tapping into the mystery that God put over our lives when he planned to make us excel in our generation, our only hope of entering into that mystery is by the Holy Ghost. Your only hope of tapping into the things of God, the counsel of God, the mind of God, the power of God, is by the Spirit of God. So you can only access the things of God. You know what God did in the New Testament? He made us to have access to his things and to use his things to prosecute our calling upon the face of the earth. To use his wisdom, to use his counsel, to use his power, to use his grace. All of these things are available at our disposal, but the extent to which you can tap into them is determined by your intimacy with the Spirit. So many years ago, I came to this knowledge that there were so many miscalculations Satan had. There were so many miscalculations of Satan in the Bible. And the reason was because Satan was deficient in a certain kind of knowledge. It was when I arrived here, I discovered that that knowledge was ordained before the foundation of the world. And I realized also that through the Spirit, I can access those hidden things. And those hidden things will put me ahead of Satan, ahead of the devil. My life will no longer be a struggle, but it will be a continuum of grace, a continuum of expressing God's excellency over darkness. And I like that one. So I knew that the only way to operate that way is that I need to cultivate intimacy with God. I hope I've been able to encourage you enough about intimacy. All right, in view of the above, I will not continue with this scripture again, because it's supposed to encourage you, show you why you need to be intimate with God. All the reasons are in this scripture. You begin to see the limitations of humanity, even the best of us, the brightest of us, the brainiest among us, the most beautiful among us. There is a limitation. You cannot outsmart Satan with your beauty. You can't outsmart him with your intelligence, but you can outsmart Satan if you have access to the economy of the mystery. That's what I want to say. Now, as I round up, I'll show you one basic thing you need to know if you are going to build intimacy with God. Are you there? I say, are you there? So knowing fully well, when we say the Holy Ghost is a spirit being, many of us get confused. First of all, you need to know that God is a personality. It's a person, okay? And then a person. One of the things that makes you a person is that you have your own mind. You can speak. You have your own will. You have your own wisdom. Right? Are you there? So God has his own mind. God can speak. God has his own wisdom. He has his own way. If you want to begin to build intimacy with God, the first thing you need to do is to begin to learn how to speak to God. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about speaking to God in your understanding. You must get stuck in speaking to God every day before you begin to hear him speak back to you every day. And you are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. If you have seen the way God speaks to you, first of all, God will start by putting scriptures upon your heart. Have you started experiencing that? And that's why we emphasize robust prayer engagements. You know the reason? That's the first level of development that you need to begin to interface with God. So you begin to see feedbacks from God, right? He can put scripture upon you. He can put a song upon your heart. How many of you have started experiencing that? then he will begin to speak to you in short sentences. Have you started experiencing that? Now, so the first thing you need to do is look for a short sentence that you tell the Holy Spirit every now and then. Are you there? So my own short sentence is, Jesus, help me. That's my short sentence. So I will keep saying it. Now I say it unconsciously. You need to have a short sentence. Jesus, help me. 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 It come. Hallelujah. Keep saying it. Then the day he wants to fulfill that your request, and he needs you to know that there is danger. You know, he fulfills your request without you knowing most of the time. But the day he needs you to know that, hey, this is your request you've been making every time, I want to fulfill it now, but I need you to know so that you will do something that will make it come to pass. It's not every deliverance God needs to engage you, but there are some that he needs to engage you to do some things. Then you see him give you a feedback. And another feedback. Another feedback. So this, today, right? I'll start saying, Jesus. It's an involuntary thing for me now. Especially if I'm riding in a car, I might say it so many times. So many times. And then when I come to a place like this, when I want to preach, and I see the number of people, and I see how limited I am to bring spiritual food to all of these people, for them to be blessed, refreshed, energized, and having a desire to press more into God. I know I can't do that. So I now turn to him and say, you see the reason why I've been saying you should help me? Without fail, he will show up. So first of all, you need to craft out a short sentence that you tell him regularly. It can be, thank you, Jesus. Short sentence. Look for your own short sentence that you are using to address God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to say it deliberately. On a time will come, you will get lost. It will be coming out of you. Thank you, Jesus. There's a difference between praying to God and calling upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, help me. That's my own short sentence. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, my wife can testify that I'm saying the truth on this matter, because it is no longer, I'm not the one responsible for it anymore. What I experience now are bountiful feedbacks, serious feedbacks that come from Jesus, come through his spirit, and oh my God, it is a wonder. He will tell you when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away. He will tell you when to run. I'm going to stop here today. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. Don't forget the inspiration that came. If you can tarry in the night, three nights, this night, tomorrow, the other, he will share his counsel with you. On the matter that has troubled your life, how to break out of this bondage, how to step into a new season, how to break out of this cycle and to enter into the next phase of your destiny. In the next opportunity I have, I'll go deeply into the issue of pursuing intimacy with God. Know that you are dealing with a person. Learn how to talk to him. The old prophets that taught us, what they said was that God does not speak much, but God answers much. So only a man that knows how to initiate the discussion can commit God enough to make him talk. Can we pray today?
You are the wisdom before time began. Your name is ever great.
I want to be intimate with you.
You are the wisdom before time began.
For there are things that you have sealed in your sovereignty concerning my life before the foundation of the world. Those are the things for which I desire access. Now put the mic on your mouth. You know, you put the mic somewhere, sing into it. When it is like that, I can hear God. It's not as if your voice is not sweet. I'm just telling you how you can help me to. There are things that are sealed. They are sealed by the glory of God, so demons cannot access it. In those capsules that have been sealed lies the strategy of your rising beyond the attacks, beyond the curses, beyond the limitations and the stumbling blocks that Satan wants to put in your way. We want to pray tonight and say, oh God, give us access into these hidden things that you have designed for me, that you have designed for my brother, that you have designed for my sister. Give us access into it. Give us access. Give us access. There are higher dimensions of possibility concerning your life, concerning your family. If only you can access these hidden things, your life will take a turn. A turn that is way beyond resistance. It's way beyond obstacles. It's way beyond limitations. Can we spend a moment to ask him? Lord, I don't want to operate outside of this wisdom. I don't want to operate outside of this wisdom. Make this wisdom available to me. Make it 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 available to me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.